Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, the team trades a former third-round draft pick to the Falcons, and now the first five draft picks from the 2020 draft class are no longer with the Silver and Black. Plus, a familiar name signs with the Raiders over the weekend. We'll tell you who that is and what position they play. Plus, we'll quickly go through the schedule as it's out. I'll give you my win-loss total for the 2022 season. Your calls and texts will close out the show. It's all coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast for Monday, May 16th, 2022.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team every day.
Just win.
You're a win as a Raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
And welcome in Raider Nation to another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find Locked On Raiders podcast free and available on all platforms. Today's episode is being brought to you by BetOnline.net. They've got you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline.net, that's where the game starts. Of course, I'll tell you a lot more about them later on in the show, but got a lot to get to on today's show as we start another week fast and furious. Do a little bit of a programming note right here. On Wednesday, I'm actually going on vacation. Myself and the wife, we're taking off. We haven't been on a vacation in about 10 years since I've done this podcast. I've never been on vacation, and I've been doing this podcast well headed into my fifth season here. So I've never been on a vacation with the podcast. We're going to take one starting on Wednesday, and then we'll be back next Wednesday. So I should have some best of shows, some stuff that I'm really proud of that I've been doing as of late that I'll bring to the table, just kind of have on the show. So it won't be updated news and notes, but I'll have some stuff that you may have missed that I've done, like I said, over the past year that I'm really proud of, and pretty excited about being able to go on vacation as well. Usually the only time I miss here on the show is when something bad has happened, and that's never good. So let's just go ahead and be excited that there's actually going to be a little bit of vacation, a little bit of a downtime for me here on the podcast and as well on the radio station, Unnecessary Roughness, Raider Nation Radio 920. But let's get into the news and notes of the day. Starting on Friday, the Raiders traded former third round wide receiver Brian Edwards to the Atlanta Falcons. They put out a piece saying the Raiders have acquired a 2023 fifth round draft pick from Atlanta for the rights to wide receiver Brian Edwards and a conditional 2023 seventh round pick. Edwards was originally drafted number 81 overall. That's the third round of the 2020 draft. Played in 28 games, 15 starts, and two seasons with the Raiders. He had a total of 45 career catches, 764 yards, and four touchdowns. And Brian Edwards, for anyone who's been listening to this show for quite a while, knows that I was a big fan of Brian Edwards, not because of what he had done, but because of what I thought he could do. You know, he had never achieved the goal that I thought he was going to have and thought he was going to be a big time player and be able to put up some big time numbers. Of course, John Gruden, the former head coach, put a lot of expectations on him last year during training camp when he said he was very Randy Moss and T.O. like. Well, that never developed, and neither did Brian Edwards. He never really developed, and I know a lot of Raider Nation called into my show on Friday and were pretty upset that Brian Edwards was gone, but reality is he just didn't put enough out there on film for this new regime. Again, 45 catches, 764 yards, and four touchdowns in 28 games played is just not enough. One note that I do want to give on Brian Edwards that was pretty positive is what he was able to do in 2021 in overtime. 126 yards receiving in overtime. That was the most for one season for any player since at least 1991. That was from Josh DeBow. He put that out there on Twitter. And Brian Edwards, for some reason, came up clutch in overtime. I don't know why, but he did a lot during the 2021 season, so you got to give him a lot of credit for that. But man, he just never developed into that guy. He's got all the intangibles, right? He's got the height. He's got the hands. He's got a good enough speed. He's not a burner, but he's got good enough speed. You know, he runs violently once he has the ball in his hands. He just wasn't able to put it all together. Now, one negative note on the Raiders, well, there's plenty of negative notes when it comes to them drafting, but this is also a note from Josh DeBow on Twitter. 97 of the 106 players taken in the first three rounds of the 2020 draft are still on the team that they are drafted by. Of the nine players who aren't, five were picked by the Raiders. So that's not very good. Doesn't show very good as far as their drafting ability. And we know it's been very well documented how poorly it's been. Henry Ruggs, of course, was a different situation. But Damon Arnett, that was clearly a reach, really on and off the field. He was just a knucklehead in general. And then, of course, Lynn Bowden Jr., he never got to play a snap with the Raiders. He was traded to Miami. Brian Edwards is now out. He's in the ATL. And Tanner Muse, he got waived before the season ever started in 2021. Never played an actual snap because he redshirted his first year. He was on IR. So never played in 2020 at all. So those first five draft picks are all gone from that 2020 draft class, and that is not good. That is not how you continue to build up the cupboard full of talent. And that's how really good teams stay really good, because they're able to draft and develop and have young dudes coming up right behind guys that are veterans. And so you can make a decision on if you want to keep a guy around, give him a bigger contract, or let him walk, depending on what you have behind him. The Raiders don't have too many options because they don't have a lot of guys behind them. So that's what this new regime's number one, one of their number one jobs is going to be, is restock the cupboards, you know, put some more products on the shelves. You know, when you go to the store and the shelves are empty, well, this new regime, they got to restock the shelves with talent because it's just not there. The depth is not there. And again, similar to last season, the Raiders are going to go as far as their depth will take them. Now, there was a signing. The Raiders did make a signing over the weekend that I thought was pretty cool, and a name that everyone's familiar with. How about Tyrone Wheatley? Well, this is Tyrone Wheatley Jr. His agent, JT Esquire, on Twitter put out, "Congratulations to client Tyrone Wheatley Jr. on signing with the Las Vegas Raiders, a familiar name for Raider Nation fans." Again, that's from his agent, JT Esquire, on Twitter. And I thought that was pretty cool, just to see the son of someone that's very familiar with the Raiders and Tyrone Wheatley, a guy that I've actually talked to and had interviewed on Raider Nation Radio 920. Actually, a guy that I sent a text to over the weekend when I saw it. I was like, hey, congratulations to your son, man. That's awesome. And of course, we don't know if he's going to make the team. We don't know if he's going to be on the 53-man roster. We don't know if he's even going to make it out of training camp. I mean, it's just knowing that you're on the 90-man roster as of right now and you have an opportunity, that's all that any of these guys could ask for. But still, pretty cool seeing that name, Tyrone Wheatley. Of course, anyone who's been watching the Raiders for a while knows who Tyrone Wheatley is. When he was a running back for the Raiders, he actually ran for 3,682 yards and 32 touchdowns in 78 games for the Silver and Black. He is now actually a running back coach in Denver, and then he played at Michigan. He was a 1993 Rose Bowl MVP when he ran for 235 yards, had three touchdowns in Michigan's 38 win over Washington. But Tyrone Wheatley was always a guy that I was a big fan of. So, you know, congratulations to Tyrone Wheatley Jr., but of course, the work is just beginning. Now that he's got a contract, now he's got to earn that contract and stick on the roster, and we'll see what happens. But some more competition for that offensive line. So then there was the not-so-positive stuff that came out about the Raiders, and this also came out on Friday. The Raiders and Mark Davis were featured in another article. This time it was the New York Times. It's called "The Disarray and Stone Age Dysfunction of the Las Vegas Raiders," and basically it's former employees talking about the Raiders organization in disarray, citing executive departures, poor financial management, unpaid electrical bills, and a raft of firings, payouts, and NDAs. Again, that's "The Disarray and Stone Age Dysfunction of the Las Vegas Raiders." And I read it, probably about three or four times. I reached out to the ones that wrote the article and was trying to get them on for an interview, and who knows if they're going to respond or not, because I love to hear where they're coming from. I love to hear all ends of the story, all sides of the story, because again, we don't know. We're not in the building. We're not there, you know, witnessing it firsthand. So all we're doing is reading and trying to comprehend what we're seeing. And, you know, I kind of like to hear from these guys and get their tone and see what they're actually talking about. But I'll say this, I mean, from reading it multiple times, it didn't make Mark Davis's organization sound really good. And it sounded like he really wasn't even running it with, you know, like a fine-tooth comb at first. And then when things started to go awry and some financial situations popped up is when he really started to pay attention. This is kind of what I received from it, where he started to pay attention a little bit more, and then guys started being shown the door. So in one light, it doesn't look great on the Raiders. In the other light, it kind of is like, yeah, well, hey, once Mark Davis noticed that there was some stuff going on, he quickly got rid of the situations. And it even made Dan Ventrelli, the former interim president, sound pretty bad in this situation, because there sounds like there was complaints that Ventrelli has claimed against Mark Davis, but it sounds like there was complaints where he just said, oh, that's no big deal, I'll just pay them off. And that's just paraphrasing. I'm not saying that that's what he said word for word, but just as I'm reading it and I'm taking away my perception of this story, that's kind of what I got. It didn't sound like Ventrelli was in great light either. So that kind of makes the story that's going on with him right now and his complaint that he had that he took to the NFL and his firing just, a couple weeks ago, really kind of makes it seem like, wow, what's really going on? Seems like a lot of uncertainty. Let's put it like that. I don't want to say dysfunction because it sounds like things are starting to get cleaned up, or at least it feels like things are starting to get cleaned up, but it just sounds like there was a whole lot going on that maybe even Mark Davis wasn't too aware of. And then once he was aware of it, then that's when maybe guys started to leave and some heads started to roll. And I don't think that everyone involved really liked that situation, but I'm not going to go through the whole story, but you can read it. It's on the New York Times. It's called "The Disarray and Stone Age Dysfunction of the Las Vegas Raiders," and actually has a young lady that used to work for the organization organization who didn't sign an NDA actually is heavily featured in this article and talks about her experiences. So that's something that obviously you want to take into consideration when you're reading it as well, that this is someone who was in the building that's talking about it. So that was the not so great about the Raiders that came out over the weekend, as a matter of fact, on Friday, to be exact. And then the final little nugget that I have for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, news and notes of the day. And this was just a report that came out on Twitter that I just happened to notice on Sunday afternoon, says that the Raiders have interest in free agent defensive lineman Ndamukong Suh. Suh is 35 years old at the current time, started all 17 games for the Bucs in 2021, had 27 tackles, 9 tackles for loss, 6 sacks, 13 quarterback hits, 37 pressures, and 2 fumble recoveries. Also added 8 tackles, a sack, and a tackle for loss, and 9 pressures in 2 playoff games. And the one note on him that I didn't even realize, he hasn't missed a game since 2014 and has back-to-back seasons of at least 6 sacks. Other teams reportedly interested in his services, the Browns, Rams, Bucs, but it sounds like the Bucs are not a team that he's going to return to in 2022, but apparently the Raiders have some level of interest in Ndamukong Suh. So that could be a veteran. That could be a very Gerald McCoy-like signing, plus a guy that still has some production and still has a little something left in the tank. So I'd be interested in that. That'd add some more beef and more competition to the interior part of that Raiders defensive line, but I'm all for it. I really am. I'm all for it. He's a difference maker. He's got some nasty to him. We all know that. And I think he'd bring a lot to that Patrick Graham defense. But that's for them to go ahead and seal the deal. I don't know what the timetable for Suh is looking like as far as when he wants to get a contract done. But he's a veteran, so I'm sure he's not in any kind of hurry. Similar to James Bradbury, I think both of those guys are going to sit out and just kind of hang for a while and see how everything shakes out and then where their best location is. So that's all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segment number two, going to go over the Raiders 2022 schedule, and I'll actually give you my win-loss thoughts this time around. On Friday when the, well, schedule came out on Thursday, but Friday on the show, I just went through it and talked about each and every game. Now I'm actually going to give you a prediction on what I think the Raiders are going to do in 2022. That's after I tell you about betonline.net. Of course, it is the title sponsor of today's show, and they are the number one source for all your betting needs. You can find all the latest odds, news, sports developments, including the NBA playoffs, which have been fantastic. The Boston Celtics have moved on. My Warriors have moved on. Speaking of my Warriors moving on, I was talking about Steph Curry and the Warriors when Curry was talking about whoop that trick when they were going to play Memphis Grizzlies, and I was like, yeah, they didn't do that whooping. They actually got whooped, and someone actually thought I was disrespecting Steph Curry. You do know I'm a Warrior fan, and you do know that Curry's my guy, and that team is my squad. Hey, man, they put bulletin board material out there, and it didn't work out for them very well, but they, you know, played it off, they rolled with it, and they won game 6, which is all that mattered. But anyway, moving on, back to betonline.net. They got Major League Baseball scores, they got fights, they got everything that you need, everything including NFL futures. Betonline.net is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, live betting, playoffs, esports, and a whole lot more. Just go to the website today on your laptop or your mobile device, learn about the trends and all the action. BetOnline.net, that's where the game starts.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Want to go through the Raiders schedule again. Went through it on Friday after it was released on Thursday. On Friday's show, went through it, just kind of broke it on down and talked about what I liked, what I didn't like, where I thought the NFL got it right, where I thought they got it wrong. But I didn't give win-loss. I said I wanted to wait over the weekend, kind of think about it a little bit, break it down a little bit more, have a little bit of time to think before I really just went all in and said, okay, these are dub, this is a L, this is a dub, this is a L, and go through it. And the other thing about that is it's only May, so we don't know what the 53-man roster looks like. Maybe we should go through this and do it one more time before the season actually gets started, after we know the 53-man roster. But let's go ahead and go through it right now, because that's what everyone does, that's what everyone wants to do, is kind of get an idea of what the ballpark is as far as the Raiders' expectations. And I'll say this before I even get into it, I don't believe this 8-win stuff that, you know, Vegas is saying, you know, betonline.net having them around 8.5 wins, having them fourth in the division. I'm not buying any of that. Now, if that ends up happening, fine. Hey, I'll tip the cap and say I was wrong. I have no problem with that. But my expectations are this team to either be a playoff team or fighting for the playoffs late in the season, like the last couple games of the season. So that's, I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there right now. I do think this division is going to beat up on each other. I don't think it's going to be as clear cut as it always is. Matter of fact, I wouldn't be shocked if Kansas City doesn't win the division this year, just because it's going to be such a dogfight throughout the course of the year. But just all the betting lines that are out there right now, I'm just not buying them. I think think that they're disrespecting the Raiders and not giving them enough credit for being a 10-win team and went to the playoffs a year ago with all the adversity they had to deal with, and they still found a way to win 10 games. And I do believe this team is better now and is definitely going to be better come September. With all that being said, let me get off my soapbox and get on to talking about the schedule and where I think the wins and losses are coming from. First game of the season, Sunday, September 11th, at the L.A. Chargers, SoFi Stadium. And it's funny, I was going to actually give the Raiders a loss in this game, and then I talked to Gilbert Manzano from the OC Register. I talked to him on Friday on Raider Nation Radio 920, and he said the Charger players are still in the locker room upset about that Week 18 loss to the Raiders last season. You've got to get over that. You've got to move on from that. So when he said that, that stood out to me. He said, man, Q, those guys are still upset about that. Like, that is all that's on their mind. Like, they really want revenge from that game. And that's not the way that you go into a new season. You just got to L-I-G it, man. You got to let that go, right? Let it go. And then move on and not worry about it. Plus, there's new players in the locker room as well. But I'm now, because hearing that, and I don't know how much weight that's going to carry into September, but I'm going to go ahead and say the Raiders are going to travel not too far down to SoFi Stadium, pick up a W. So they're 1-0 on the season. Then they return home and they play the Arizona Cardinals. That's their season opener. I'm just going to give them a dub right there. I know the Cardinals play well early in the season. Cliff Kingsbury, they also have Kyler Murray does well, but they have no DeAndre Hopkins. They have Marquise Hollywood Brown, but he doesn't scare me. So I think that the Raiders come away and they're 2-0 on the season, and then they take their talents to Tennessee Sunday, September 25th, 10 a.m. kickoff. I think the Raiders lose this one. I really do. And the reason I think it is, I think that Derrick Henry will be lathered up. I think this Raiders defense will still be trying to find itself. You know, this new regime, Patrick Graham and company, I think they'll still be trying to come around defensively. And I think that Derrick Henry may just be too much for them early in the season. So I give the Raiders a loss there. So after three games, they're 2-1. Then they return home and they play the Denver Broncos. And that's Russell Wilson's first trip to Allegiant Stadium. And, of course, it's going to be a ton of hype. And Denver's been getting a ton of hype as well. I'm not really buying it. I think that they should be the fourth team in the AFC West, and I think the Raiders are going to show them that during this game, Sunday, October 2nd. At Allegiant Stadium, I think that the Raiders come away with the victory over the Denver Broncos. So I got them right now sitting at 3-1 heading into that fifth week of the season at Kansas City. So glad they're playing in Kansas City early in the season. Monday, October 10th, it's a prime time game. The Raiders at one point were the kings of Monday Night Football. And on this night, I'm just going to go ahead, and I rode with this a couple years ago when the Raiders had Kansas City Week 5 in Kansas City. It was back in 2020. I said, hey, they're going to win this one because they're getting them early in the season. It's not Kansas City coming off a bye, and I think their best opportunity to win an early game in Kansas City is being early, and I think this is going to be the one. So after 5 weeks headed into the bye week, I actually have the Raiders sitting there at 4-1. Pretty stinking good record right there. 3-2, I would say, would be the minimum. I would probably say that maybe they lose that Chargers game to start the season, but I'm still a little bit on the fence. So 3-2 at the worst, 4-1 is where I have them right now. Then they go into the bye week, they come out, and they stay home. They welcome in the Houston Texans. Not going to give this one a whole lot of thought. I think the Raiders get that dub. So that's 5-1 on the season. Then they're on the road taking on the Saints. This is Christmas Eve. It is Halloween Eve. I don't even think there's such thing, but it's going to be crazy in New Orleans, and I think that the Saints are going to find a way to get this dub. I just think that they have a lot of new weapons. Jarvis Landry is obviously there. Michael Thomas will be healthy. They got Chris Olave in the draft, so they got a three-headed monster at the wide receiver position. Dennis Allen hasn't had a lot of success against the Raiders as coach, and he is the first-time head coach, but I think that the Saints are going to find a way to win this game, so I have the Raiders at 5-2, and then they're back on the road against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I think that they lick their wounds and pick up a dub. I just don't believe in the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that they're going to be better this year. I think Doug Peterson is going to help out Trevor Lawrence a lot, but just think that Jacksonville doesn't have enough goods yet to compete with the Raiders. So I give the Raiders another victory right there. So what? After 8 weeks, or 8 games, they're 6-2, according to me. Then they return home. Indianapolis comes knocking at the door. Gus Bradley, Yannick Ngakoue, Darius Leonard, Jonathan Taylor, Matty Ice, Matt Ryan. You know, a hell of a team in Indy that thinks that they're going to go deep. Yannick Ngakoue has said he's going to show the Raiders that they made a mistake by trading him. Of course, Rocky Asin will be going up against his former team in Indianapolis, and I think that the Raiders are going to win at home. If you start to notice the theme, I think that the Raiders are going to win a lot of games at home. I think they're going to turn that tide where it's been very suspect and hit or miss when it comes to winning games at home. I think they're going to start winning a lot more at Allegiant Stadium as they need to. So I think that they win this game against the Colts. That's 7 wins right there. Then they travel on the road Sunday, November 20th, take on Denver in Denver, and I think that the Raiders lose that one. I think that finally the Denver Broncos creep up on the Raiders and get them. Again, they'll be on the road in Denver late in November. That's not really a cold game. I just think it's a road game that catches the Raiders off guard. You know, it's just one of those that's like, okay, that was a nice little run. You know, team's looking really good, but that was just a bad game out. So I have the Raiders now at 7-3 after 10 games. Now, here we go. November 27th on the road again at Seattle. And I don't know what Seattle's doing. I don't. I mentioned this on Friday's show. I have no idea what Seattle's got cooking. I really don't. Drew Lock doesn't scare me. Geno Smith doesn't scare me. Hell, even if they go and make the move for Baker Mayfield, that doesn't scare me either. So I'm giving the Raiders a dub in Seattle just because I don't know what Seattle's got going on. So that's 8 wins right there. Then is when it gets real. When they say it gets real, it doesn't matter about wins in September and October. It's about what you do in November and December. Well, December is when it's going to get real. The Raiders have a gauntlet right here. They welcome in the Chargers to Allegiant Stadium. I think that the Chargers actually win that game. I think the Raiders are going to split with the Chargers. That's why I can't give them this game. I think that they're going to split with the Chargers, so they're going to lose this one. So I have them right now at 8-4 after 12 games. Then they head right back down the road to SoFi Stadium and take on the Rams. The Rams, the defending Super Bowl champs. This is a Thursday night game. It's on that Amazon Prime. I think the Raiders lose this one as well. So now they're sitting there at 8-5, and you're like, oh, damn it, here you go. You don't want to have this late season collapse. But don't worry, they return home to Allegiant Stadium for a Sunday night game against Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. This is going to be a game that we're going to hear all week long about Belichick versus McDaniels and all the former Patriots now playing for the Raiders. And, you know, I mean, the storylines are going to write themselves, right? It is a Sunday night game. It's the only primetime game at home. I think that the Raiders are going to be amped up. They're going to be lathered up, fired up for this one. I think the Raiders are going to win it. So now they're sitting there at 9 wins. 9 wins after 15 weeks and 14 games. So now it's getting down to the nitty-gritty. Now, Saturday, December 24th, it is Christmas Eve in Pittsburgh. That is going to be an NFL Network game, 5:15. So it's basically primetime on Christmas Eve. It's going to be the Immaculate Reception, the 50-year anniversary of that game. And I don't know how it's going to get done. I don't know who's going to be the quarterback there in Pittsburgh. I just have a feeling that Pittsburgh is going to come away with the victory in this one. I really do. As much as I'd love to see the Raiders win this game against Mike Tomlin and, of course, the Steelers, you know, there on the 50-year anniversary or right around celebrating the 50-year anniversary of the Immaculate Reception, I just don't think that they win this one. So I think that the Raiders take that loss. So that's another loss, and now they've only got a couple games left to go, and they're sitting there with a 9-6 overall record. So what's the last couple games? They're both at home. The San Francisco 49ers, that's going to be on New Year's Day, not New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. So I don't know what the mood's going to be like. I don't know who's going to be out celebrating, who's going to be partying, and then try to show up to a game. It's a 1:05 kickoff. This is a game that I talked about before could be flexed. I'd like to see it flexed, have that be a Sunday night game. But as of right now, as it stands, it's a 1:05 kickoff. So a lot of folks might just walk right in off the strip and straight into Allegiant Stadium and watch this game. But the old Battle of the Bay, there's no way I think that the Raiders welcome in the 49ers and they lose that game. I just don't see the 49ers going into Allegiant Stadium and walk away with a dub. I just think the Raiders will be too lathered up. I think Raider Nation is going to be loud and proud. Of course, there'll be 49er fans there. We get that throughout the course of the year. Of course, there's going to be a lot of opposing fans at the stadium. It's a destination location, but I think Raider Nation is going to outpower and outduel San Francisco and do it in a major way. All the 49er fans are going to go home leaving Allegiant Stadium pretty sad and probably still be hungover from the party the night before, but they'll still really be feeling bad about themselves. So I give the Raiders another dub right there. So that's 10 wins on the season, matching their total from a year ago. And then they close things out with the Kansas City Chiefs. And I believe a lot's going to be riding on the line on this game, potentially the division, potentially a playoff spot. I just think that the Raiders got to win it. Win it and you're in it, or win it and you know you're the team. You're the one that matters. And so I'm going to give the Raiders that nod again. I think that they win a lot of games at home. Matter of fact, I believe I only have them losing one game at home this season, and I just think that they're going to start to establish a home field advantage as far as wins and losses. Will it be fans there? Yes, of course. But I think you're going to start seeing them win at home consistently and know that, hey, when a team comes to Las Vegas, when a team goes to Allegiant Stadium, they're going to have a tough, tough game because the Silver and Black are not playing around. Matter of fact, I think the only game I gave them losing at home was that Charger game on Sunday, December 4th, and that's just because I had them splitting with the Chargers over the course of the season. So if they lose that first game on September 11th, then they're going to win that one on December 4th, but I do have them splitting overall, and I have them sweeping the Chiefs, and I have them going 1-1 with the Broncos and 1-1 with the Chargers. But wouldn't that be something if they found a way to sweep the Chiefs? Oh, man, you want to talk about putting your best foot forward and making a statement. You sweep the Chiefs, the team that's consistently won the AFC West, and you're doing the damn thing. I mean, you really are. So I'm going to go ahead and give them that. An overall record for the 2022 season, 11-6, and that gets them into the playoffs. I don't know if that wins the division, but that at least secures a wild card spot, makes them one of the best three teams in the AFC West, and I still believe the Denver Broncos will be that fourth team in the AFC West. So that's how I look at it. That's how I see it. Raider Nation, how do you see it? Would love to hear from you at 702-365-9200. Before I get to the calls and texts off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, I want to tell you about Built Bar, and I was waiting for the box to arrive in the mail, and it did over the weekend. Built Bar Puffs birthday cake flavor. I had had the Built Bar birthday cake flavor, but I didn't have the Built Puffs that actually has some marshmallow into it. And man, oh man, I'll tell you what, put them in the fridge. Actually, the wife put them in the fridge as soon as they came to the house, and I let them chill for a day, and then man, open them up, crack those things open. Pretty stinking good. Pretty stinking good. So if you want something that's got some good flavor, if you like birthday cake flavor in general, you're going to love this one. A Built Bar Puff with the marshmallows in it, but birthday cake flavor. Very low in calories, high in protein, low in sugar, and just a really overall great taste. It'll be perfect for summer. You leave these laying around the house while the kids are, you know, doing what they do. Maybe they're playing video games. Maybe they're outside, in and out the house. Whatever the case may be, they get hungry. They want a little bit of a snack. Built Bars are the way to go, and I cannot overemphasize the Built Bar birthday cake Built Puffs flavor. Brand new flavor. You want to have it, and you want to get it now, because the thing about it is these always sell out. The new flavors always sell out quick, fast, and in a hurry. So if you want to get your hands on it before it sells out, I suggest you do it now. Go to built.com, use that promo code LOCK15. It's all one word. That's LOCKED15, LOCK15. You'll save 15% off your order just like that. Check it out today. Again, built.com, Built Bar Puff birthday cake flavor. Get it, put it in your grocery cart today, and enjoy as soon as they arrive at the house. Built.com, promo code LOCK15.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Let's start things off with a text from Northwest Alabama Raider Woody. It says, howdy, Q. This is Northwest Alabama Raider Woody. I want to start off by saying how great your show is and how much I appreciate and love having your show as my first listen each and every day. I always wanted to comment on the schedule release and how excited all of us Raider fans in Northwest Alabama are for the upcoming season. I know rumors are flying around about the potential leaks and whatnot over the last week or so. When I heard you say the Titan game was potentially on Christmas Day, it worried me because my folks would not be very happy if I said I was going to see the Raiders beat the Titans on Christmas Day. I have been hoping the leaks were total bogus since I first heard them, and thank goodness they were. Also, I wanted to say how excited I was for the Saints game, Week 8. I hope to see you on Bourbon Street come Halloween. I also wanted to get your take on the later season games, specifically the Broncos, Steelers, and Chiefs game. How do you think the Raiders will hold up in the late season weather? I'll see you in Nashville on Week 3 and hopefully in New Orleans Week 8. Raider Nation, look out for Alabama Raiders. Lombardi, here we come. Just win, baby. Thank you so much for that. I do appreciate you. And yeah, man, all those leaks that came out, they were just so much. I just kind of knew that they were all over the place. You know, they really were. And it's just one of those things, like, people have time to sit in their mom's basement and come up with fake Twitter accounts and decide that they're going to go ahead and just throw some stuff out there and hope that people follow. And unfortunately, a ton of people do. That's why I never really got caught up in all that. As far as the games that you're talking about, I mean, if you're listening to segment number two, which I'm sure you were, you'll see that out of those three games that you talk about, I don't have the Raiders doing too well. I only have them winning one of those games. I have them losing to the Broncos, the Steelers, and then winning the Chiefs at home to close out the regular season. But I do have them going 11-6 overall and making it to the playoffs, and that's all that matters at the end of the day. You know, I think that Week 18 game against Kansas City is going to really, really matter. That game against Pittsburgh on Christmas Eve is really their only true cold weather game, and that's a good thing. But I just think that Pittsburgh's going to find a way, specifically at that time of the season, to come away at the dub. And by then, I'm sure Trubisky won't be the quarterback anymore. It'll probably be Kenny Pickett. And somehow, some way, Mike Tomlin's going to find the way to get it done, you know, because Mike Tomlin's just that good of a head coach. I mean, he really is. So he doesn't have losing seasons, so he'll have them lathered up, ready to go. I just think that the Raiders can't win them all, but I do see them winning 11 this year, which would be an uptick from what they did just a year ago. So they continue to get better and better and better each and every year, and I think that continues this season as they go 11-6, as I have them going 11-6. Thank you so much for that call or that text. I do appreciate you. Next up, got a call from Joe in the 818. He's calling to talk about the Bryan Edwards trade and sharing his feelings on it. Here he is, Joe in the 818.
Hey, Q, this is Stowe from the 818. I'm leaving you this message on Friday after the Bryan Edwards trade, but at the rate we're going, by the time you play this, we probably would have made four or five more deals by then, and I love it. McZiegler are leaving no stones unturned, and I can't wait for training camp. As for the Edwards deal, I got to be honest, it bums me out. My son and daughter both went to the University of South Carolina when Edwards was there, and when the Raiders drafted him in the third round, I thought we got a steal. The guy can play for sure. We wouldn't have beaten the Ravens without him last year. We wouldn't have beaten the Browns or the Chargers without 89 making some huge catches. That said, anyone who thinks the best SEC team can beat the worst NFL team, they should ask Bryan Edwards what he thinks. This guy was a star in college. He's the school's all-time leading receiver, and at least to this point in the NFL, he's nothing more than a shoulda, woulda, coulda. I'm going to guess that Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels didn't watch many live Raiders games last year, but they certainly have seen plenty of tapes since taking over. Quite honestly, all you have to do is slip on that Bears game and realize that Bryan Edwards is not the guy we wanted him to be. He ran a wrong route in the end zone that cost us one score. He dropped that wide open, and I mean wide open ball, that may have ultimately cost us that game. It was so bad that a bunch of his teammates had to come out onto the field and attaboy him just to keep his spirits up. Now, that told me two things. One, they genuinely liked him, which I did too. And number two, he's just not ready for the prime time. I saw a tweet last Thursday that said there are 10 former Raiders on the Falcons roster. Now makes 11. If you're wondering why the Raiders' new front office is making so many changes, look no further than that. Atlanta is going to be one of the worst teams in football next year, by far. And with a former Raiders quarterback, a former Raiders defensive back, linebacker, safety, and now receiver, well, that says as much about them as it does about us. The days of drafting potential and holding on to this guy could be good someday, well past that expiration date, hopefully long gone. I will miss what I wanted Bryan Edwards to be, and I will be the first to celebrate when Marcus Mariota hits him deep to cut the Falcons deficit to 30. This is a new Raiders world from the 818.
There he goes. That was Stove in the 818. My bad. I called him Joe. I don't know where I got Joe from. My bad. But thank you for the call, Stove. I do appreciate you. And yeah, I mean, I'll say I was a little disappointed by the Edwards trade as well. But everything you said is correct. I mean, he just never amounted to what we all expected him to. Even myself, I thought he was going to end up being a big-time player as long as he could stay healthy. And for the most part, he did a good job of that. You know, in two seasons, he played in 28 games. I'm okay with that. What, 15 starts? That's fine. But he just wasn't able to get it done at the rate that he should have been able to. And I know that you could build in an excuse and say, hey, 2020 was a COVID year, 2021, everything was up in shambles, the organization was a mess, but everyone had to deal with that. And a lot of people stepped up and performed, and he just wasn't one of them, not consistently enough. So I'm not going to ever be down on him. I always hope that he does well, but he's just going to do well somewhere else. He's going to be in the ATL instead of in Las Vegas. So, you know, good luck to Bryan Edwards, but he's on his way out. And the Raiders got a fifth-round pick for him, and that's okay. To get a fifth round in return for a guy who hasn't done a whole lot, that's not too bad. It really isn't. So thank you so much for that call. Appreciate you. Got a text from No Town Raiders saying, hey, Q, No Town Raider here. After looking at the schedule, there is not one team on there I'm scared of. So my record prediction is for the Raiders to go 13-4, and the Raiders win the AFC West. Go Raiders, and thank you for everything you do. No Town Raider out. I'm interested to know what games you had the Raiders losing. 13-4 is one hell of a record, and it's not impossible. Look, hell, I would have had them going 11-6. But that's a big jump from 10 wins to 13 wins. You know what I mean? Especially with the schedule that they have and the AFC West, the division that they're playing in, is going to be a tough one. But I'm interested to know what games you have them losing. And, yeah, that's a hell of a record. And maybe we'll do this again, like I said, right before the season starts when we know what the 53-man roster looks like for not just the Raiders but all the teams in the division. But thank you for that text. I appreciate you. Good stuff as always. Next up, I got a call from Jay in L.A. He's calling to talk about the trade of Bryan Edwards. And he's a little bit disappointed. Here he is, Jay from L.A.
Hey, Q. This is Jay from L.A. Giving a call. I'm a new booty. Been listening to the show for a while. I just saw the news that we had traded Bryan Edwards for a fifth-round pick. And I'm going to say I'm pretty upset about the trade. I mean, I understand that he wasn't a Ziegler or McDaniels guy, but I mean, he flashed some potential last year, and I feel like with the guys that we brought in, like Keenan Cole and Hollins and Robinson, those guys are okay, but at the end of the day, if Devontae Adams were to get hurt, God forbid, I feel like we're in the same position that we were in last year, where we're going to have one of the worst wide receiver units in the league. So ideally, I would like to see us still add somebody. I don't know what you think about that, or if you think that's something that we may do, and if we do, who are some guys that stand out to you as potential candidates? Some guys that have caught my eye are Julio Jones, Emmanuel Sanders, Odell Beckham Jr., Will Fuller, and if we're going to trade for somebody, I wouldn't mind kicking the tires on a late round pick for someone like Denzel Mims, or even potentially Darius Slayton out of New York. I know that they have some cap issues, and they have the most expensive receiver room in the NFL. He has that 4.3 speed we need. So, yeah, thanks for everything you do, Q. Let me know what you think, and let's go Raiders.
There he goes, Jay in L.A. Thank you for the call, my man. I appreciate you. Welcome to the show. Appreciate you being a new booty. And you know, I don't think Edwards is a big loss. I really don't. I like him as a player. I think he has a lot of potential. I hopped on with Aaron Freeman from Locked On Falcons, and he wanted to get a little breakdown of Edwards. And I said, hey, he's a hell of a player. It has a potential to be a hell of a player. He just never developed the way that the Raiders wanted him to. But as far as intangibles, as far as the size, the hands, good enough speed, he's got all that. He's got all that. He just had to put in a little bit more work, and he had to develop a little bit quicker than he did. And this new regime, man, there's no scholarship, guys. Don't matter when you were drafted, who drafted you. If you could play, you could play. If you can't, you can't. You know, so they were ready to move on from him. They got a fifth-round pick in return. I mean, you look at the wide receiver room just off the top. They still have Devontae Adams, Hunter Renfro, Darren Waller's a tight end, but you know he's a big-time weapon. Robinson came over from Kansas City. Cole came over from the Jets and the Jaguars. Raiders just made him, made him official. So you knew that there was going to be somebody that was leaving with the way that they were signing these one-year deals for some of these guys. And so Bryan Edwards ended up becoming collateral damage. So, I mean, just it is what it is. It's kind of the way things go. But I'm not too mad at it. And I think that you'll realize later on that Bryan Edwards is not a huge loss. But thank you for that call. Again, I do appreciate you. Next up, got a text from Charlie in Montana. Said, what up, Q? It's Charlie in Montana. The 49er game is going to be one hell of a time. New Year's in Vegas, then we get to watch our Raiders get some revenge on them clowns. That was the first tickets we got last night. That was from Charlie in Montana, and that's what I'm anticipating, man. I really am. You heard my breakdown of the schedule in segment number two. I'm anticipating Allegiant Stadium being nuts. Being a madhouse, you know, I usually make sure that, you know, I make sure the family comes to at least a game a season. I only can say that because we were here last season. So I had the family come to a couple games. That's going to have to be one that they go to. That'll have to be one because it's going to be bananas. They'll probably end up getting me for that game, and then the last game of the season against Kansas City. Those two games at Allegiant Stadium are going to both be just two crazy crowds. It's going to be nuts in Allegiant Stadium. So those are probably the ones that they'll be looking forward to. Who knows what games they'll be going to, but yeah, I'm with you though, 100%. It is going to be one hell of a time. So thank you for that text. Appreciate you. Next up, and we'll close out with this, got a call from Rahul in Seattle. He's calling to talk about the schedule release and share his thoughts on it. Here he is, Rahul in Seattle.
Hey, Q, it's Rahul from Seattle. I haven't been listening in a while because, you know, this has obviously been a lull since the draft, and now the schedule release came out. So I wanted to check in with you, and glad to see that everything is still status quo with your podcast and with you keeping us in the loop and you know, just doing your job and you know, making sure that we stay informed. So you know, looking at the schedule, it's a tough schedule. It's always a tough schedule for us. You know, we play in a tough division. This year we're also playing the toughest division in the NFC, and so you know, it's going to be a tough year. But I do like certain aspects. I like that we end the season at home with two games in a row. I also like that we play the Chiefs fairly early before weather has a chance to affect us. You know, the last time we won in Kansas City, it was in October. And so I think that we have a better chance of winning that KC game. Hopefully the weather is good. It should be in October. We don't have a lot of cold weather games. We have one late in Pittsburgh. There is also a stretch in the season where we play four road games within 5 weeks. And so, you know, that's a little bit of a concern. But overall, it's a tough schedule, like it always is. But at least the sequence of the games seems to be somewhat favorable. We do get an early bye, which I think is a little, I'd rather have it later, certainly. You know, I think most teams would like to have their bye later because of injuries. But we also don't, we also don't have a disadvantage following our Monday night game. There is one game that is a little bit of a concern schedule-wise, which is the Rams game. You know, we play that on a short week on a Thursday. But again, they're playing that game on a short week, I believe. I haven't checked into that. And then finally, the Chiefs don't get a bye before either of our games. So I think that ultimately the schedule did work out from a sequencing perspective in our favor as the best it could have. But, of course, we're playing tough teams because our division is tough, and then the NFC was tough. NFC West is tough. So thanks again for doing all you do. One love.
There he goes right there, Rahul in Seattle. Thank you for the call, my man. I appreciate you. And, yeah, the schedule's tough, but, I mean, that's what do you expect, you know? And it's funny because some of the teams that are on the schedule that we think are going to be really good might not be. And there might be a couple teams on there that look like they're not going to be very good that end up being really good. I mean, it's just – it's kind of the nature of the beast each and every year. The strength of schedule really doesn't bother me too much. The bye week being week six, that's cool. Ideally, you know, week seven, eight, or nine would be great, but six isn't too bad. You know, I don't have a problem with that. But closing out the season, back-to-back home games, that is perfect. And I know that there's only one home primetime game. I do think that the Raiders will end up with at least two home primetime games because I think one of those last two games of the season will end up being flexed to a Sunday night game. But that's just, like I said, that's my gut feeling right now, and it all depends on how the Raiders play throughout the course of the season. But, yeah, man, super excited about the upcoming season. We know it doesn't get started until September, but just having the schedule in your hand and being able to look at it and kind of anticipate what you're going to see or what you expect to see is always a lot of fun. But thank you for that call, man. It's good to hear from you, and glad you're listening. You know, don't tell me that you're not listening. That's okay. Make me think that you listen all the time. You ain't got to tell me that you're not listening. But nah, I'm just kidding. But I do appreciate you, and I appreciate all the feedback. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we'll have more calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line 707-654-4693. We'll have more news and notes of the day, and of course, we'll have plenty of conversation as it'll be, well, a couple days before myself and the wife head out on vacation. But thank you so much for making the Locked On Raiders podcast your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the show free and available on all platforms. Until tomorrow, Raider Nation, take care of yourself, take care of your family, love on your family, and most importantly, as always, just win, baby.